I've recently realized how often I Google the answers to things. A review of my search history on my phone over the last few weeks yielded a surprising array of topics. First of all, there were dozens and dozens of Lancaster house listings on Zillow. And I think I may have seriously damaged my vision by scrutinizing hundreds of tiny photos this big of bedrooms, living rooms, bathrooms, backyards. My history also included many random questions I've posed to Google in no particular order and what I learned. Who was Ramon Panikkar? Maybe some of you know, a Catholic priest interested in interreligious conversation. When was the original production of the play Les Mis in London? October 8th, 1985. Who is Pete Buttigieg? Anybody know? He's a gay married mayor from South Bend, Indiana, who just may be running for president in 2020. What do hairless cats look like? Ugly. Ugly. Seriously ugly. Only a mother cat could love that face. Which reminds me, what's that song about motherhood by Brandi Carlile? It's called The Mother, and it made me cry. How long does it take to ride Amtrak from Philly to New Carrollton, Maryland, where my daughter and new grandbaby live? 1 hour and 40 minutes. And are baby sloth videos a thing? They are, and you should check it out. As my 20-something niece Shannon likes to say to me, Aunt Leslie, today there's no reason not to know the answer to anything, ever. We have our phone. After all, we have Google. It's true that we can quite easily find answers these days to many questions involving simple facts. What date something happened? How much something we want to buy costs? What the lyrics to a song are. Answers to tougher questions are not so easily found. Last week, Eliza Rosenberg of the Washington Post picked up on an Esquire magazine's upcoming cover story, the first in a planned series about growing up in contemporary America. The March issue features 17-year-old Ryan Morgan with the headline, An American Boy, What It's Like to Grow Up White, Middle Class, and Male in the Era of Social Media, School Shootings, Toxic Masculinity, the Me Too Movement, and a Divided Country. The story, in which the teen talks about a fight he had with a girl at school, and is quoted as saying, I know what I can't do, I just don't know what I can do, has been apparently widely vilified. But Rosenberg writes that lost in the kerfuffle was the fact that Morgan posed a reasonably good question. Helping boys figure out what they can and can't do has major implications both for them and for American girls. While Esquire's cover boy may not stand in for all American teenagers, she argues that adults still owe him good answers. For his sake and for everyone's sake, we should all care how Ryan Morgan turns out. As you know, Susan and I have been gathering through the ages with CMCLers over the last several weeks. And so far, we have enjoyed meeting with young adults, parents of children and teens, middle-aged folks, and those over 70. We asked people what initially drew them here and what they would find meaningful now. As you might expect, we heard a number of age-specific themes, and one of those was this being a place where parents could find support in the often tough role of raising children and teens today. When I read that Post article, I kept thinking that Ryan Morgan and his parents could use just such a place, too. However, we aren't hearing this desire for a supportive community just from parents. What is coming through loud and strong is that people here at all stages of life yearn for a caring community that can help them wrestle with life's transitions and big questions. A faith community that does life together. Krista Tippett, host of the public radio show On Being, writes about this kind of longing in her book, Speaking of Faith, Why Religion Matters and How to Talk About It. The spiritual energy of our time, she says, is not a rejection of the rational disciplines by which we've ordered our common life for many decades, law, politics, economics, science. It is rather a realization that these disciplines have a limited scope. They can't ask ultimate questions. They don't begin to tell us how to order our astonishments. I love that. How to order our astonishments. What matters in life? What matters in a death? How to love? How we can be of service to each other? These are the kinds of questions religion arose to address, and religious traditions are keepers of conversation about them across generations. Of course, there are many different religious and spiritual streams in the world, including right here in our community. Doing a quick Google search, I found many Catholic churches, 7 UCC churches, 1 Greek Orthodox church, 7 Episcopalian churches, 1 Unitarian Universalist church, a number of Jewish synagogues, the Islamic Community Center of Lancaster, and the United Islamic Association of Lancaster County, to name just a few. I visited some of the websites of these communities, and many publish a vision or mission statement or goals around which they gather. And much of what I read there are things that I think many of us could affirm, at least some of what's listed there. So what do we gather around? As Susan shared last Sunday, we're preparing for our annual celebration of the faith community that does life together here. Mother Teresa famously talked about her work as one drop in the ocean. So what's the distinctive drop in the ocean that we put in as Community Mennonite Church of Lancaster, a progressive Anabaptist Mennonite congregation in a small U.S. city in 2019? One of the important marks of Anabaptism is reading and understanding the Bible through the life and teachings of Jesus Christ, especially the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5-7, and the more succinct Sermon on the Plain, which is part of this morning's text we're considering from Luke 6, which picks up where we left off last week. Anabaptist Mennonites take these teachings to heart, not as primarily describing a future ideal intended for the next life, as some other Christian streams understand these passages, but as a glimpse of the fuller and more just world that God imagines for all humanity and creation right here and now. In Luke 6, Jesus comes down from the mountain where he had been praying overnight and had chosen who would be his 12 closest followers. Verses 17 to 19 say he came down and stood with them on a level place, with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all over. They had come to hear him and to be healed, and those who were troubled were cured, and all in the crowd were reaching to try to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. When I read this, I just get a picture of a clamoring mass of confused and seeking people gathering all around Jesus. And he is right there in among them and with them, God with us. And then he just starts teaching them. And because there were so many, I'm imagining many must have just heard fragments. Listen, love your enemies, do good. Bless those who curse you and pray for them. Offer your other cheek. Lend and expect nothing in return. Give. Be merciful. Forgive. I can only imagine the many conversations on people's minds and hearts on the way home afterwards. Did you hear him? He's so wise and kind. But how can we follow these teachings? In the midst of the realities of life in our time and place, we too are invited to be part of the God-imagined world that Jesus describes. What if being part of living into this new reality for ourselves and for the next generation is the antidote to the craziness, loneliness, and injustice of the world around us? A better, fuller way to live life for our own good and for the good of all people and creation. The way Anabaptist Mennonites read these scriptures, it's less about what we believe and more about what we do in response. In this faith community, we help one another do life that way. During sharing time, Susan will be passing out CMCL's core values, visioning prayer, and the covenant around which we gather and stand up together here. I remember reading these documents in preparation for a meeting with the Pastoral Search Committee. They struck me as both deeply grounded in Anabaptist theology, while also matter-of-factly naming the reality of different understandings and the expectation of theological room to be in conversation around differences. I found this to be very inviting and very refreshing as well. CMCL's covenant begins with the sentence, "As members of Community Mennonite Church of Lancaster, we proclaim our faith in God as revealed in the scripture and the life and teachings of Jesus Christ." First sentence, very clear. It also includes a commitment to facing our diverse understandings about the meaning of who Christ is, with a spirit of openness and love for each other. Our core values state we respect and learn from people of religious traditions beyond Christianity. At the same time, it says the stories of Jesus orient our worship. Turning toward Jesus, God with us at our center, is more important than defining the outer edges. We are drawn to the stories of Jesus reaching out to the marginal, listening and healing as he moves among them. We strive to understand together what the Bible means for our lives in this time and place. As John Pavlovich says, being a messy, authentic, hopeful, spiritual community like this is far from easy. But it's happening here at CMCL. And I just have a few quick examples. At the Gifts and Growing Edges retreat at Camp Hebron in September, someone shared that they were yearning to hear about the spiritual journeys of others. This led Susan to initiate the This I Believe series in November. Wasn't that amazing? In which a number of people took the risk of honestly sharing some of their spiritual journey, including their doubts, their questions, the seasons of their faith. This past December, we traveled together as wise ones on a journey to the scene of Jesus' birth, with people sharing the unique questions and perspectives and wisdom and insight that they bring as they encounter this familiar story at different ages and life stages. And at their retreat in April in a few weeks, I understand from Linford that the Mennonite men will grapple with a topic that was actually raised at the Gift and Growing Edges retreat that's not unlike the big question asked by that teen on the cover of Esquire. In the fall, one of the men from CMCL came to me and said, "How do we fully live our lives? Keeping an awareness on one hand of our racial, economic, and gender-based privilege, and also fully living as the person we find ourselves in this life, in this body, in this place. I'm so glad that question was raised, and now it's going to be taken up here in a very real way. As in most human dilemmas, the choice is doing something or doing nothing, writes David Yount in What Are We to Do? Living the Sermon on the Mount. But Jesus was a doer and a risker. His teachings are tough, yet as Matthew 7:24 says, those who hear these words and act will be like wise ones who build houses on a rock. Will we sometimes fail ourselves and one another? Absolutely, and too regularly. That's the human condition. If I've learned anything, Krista Tippett writes in Speaking of Faith, it is that goodness prevails, not in the absence of reasons to despair, but in spite of them. If we wait around for clean heroes and clear choices, and evidence on our side to act, we will wait forever. People who bring light into the world wrench it out of the darkness and contend openly with darkness all their days. We are flawed human beings who wrestle with demons in ourselves as in the world outside. For me, she writes, that goodness is more interesting, more genuinely inspiring because of that reality. The spiritual geniuses of the ages and of the everyday simply don't let despair have the last word. Nor do they close their eyes to its pictures or deny the enormity of its facts. They say yes, and they wake up the next day and the day after that to live accordingly. With that wisdom in mind, I'd like to close this morning in prayer for our community and our coming weeks of preparation before the March 24th service. I'll be using CMCL's vision prayer, which was written using CMCL's core values. Let's pray. Through your grace, O God, form us into a community called to follow Jesus, known and loved by you, nourished throughout our lives by worship, relationships, and biblical story, open to new voices and new dreams, committed to one another in times of celebration and difficulty, responsive to human need with justice, peacemaking, and compassion. May your Spirit draw us together into your new creation. Amen.